The principle that we are guided with when we're dealing with the sick on Shabbos is that we have a din of pikuach nefesh is derech kol ha-tarkula, with the exceptions of avodah zarah gilui arayos and shfichas damim and other rare instances. And in any case of pikuach nefesh, so we're certainly derech Shabbos. The Gemara in the end of Yuma points out not only is avadai pikuach nefesh derech Shabbos, even a sofek is also derech Shabbos. And then the Meiri points out on the Gemara in the last perik, a different Gemara in the last perik in Yuma, even if you have a svek sveke, you also derech Shabbos. Even though many Rishonim say that svek sveke is mitam rov, svek sveke is 50-50, whether this way or that way, then it's 25-25 this way or that way, so basically it's 75-25. So despite the fact that the rov is that there's no pikuach nefesh involved here, he's still permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. That's how the Gemara points out the end of the first perik in Ksubis, as well as the end of the last perik in Yuma. Even if there's a roiv, then indicates that there's no pikuach nefesh. Let's say the rov is that the fella is dead anyway. Or the rov is that nothing is going to help anyway. It's not going to help. Or the rov is that he's not going to die anyway. The rov is that he's going to be well without being Mechal Shabbos. Even though it's an overwhelming rov, nonetheless, we say lahoch b'pikuach nefesh sachar harov. You have to be mechal shabbos in order to say, you have to do the chil shabbos in order to possibly save his life. What happens if it's a, let's say, an extremely overwhelming grow? Let's say a person has an ingrown toenail. So once in a while, they write up in the Enquirer, in a funny newspaper, a fellow died from an ingrown toenail. Okay, there is such a thing. But if it would have been a weekday, he would have gone to work with the ingrown toenail. He wouldn't take off a day from work and run to the hospital. But at Shabbos, he doesn't go to work. So Shabbos, he's all of a sudden, he's concerned, could be a suffix, sakana, so he's going to go to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. So on this, the Gemara has a cloud, the Shomer Psoim Hashem. Pasuk. What does it mean, Shomer Psoim Hashem? So most of the Acharonim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, has a different understanding. He makes fun of this understanding, but this is the classical interpretation. The Rav Chaim Oizer quotes from earlier Achreinim, quite a few Achreinim say Shem Psaim Hashem means if it's really a 50-50 suffix sakana, then you have to be Mechal Shabbos. But if it's the odds are that it's nowhere near 50-50 suffix sakana, and the person himself is not concerned about it, or then Benoik Shabbalim is such a far-fetched possibility, an ingrown toenail. Yeah, once out of 5,000 cases, once out of 20,000 cases, someone dies from an ingrown toenail. It's very rare. So since normal people are not concerned about that, this isn't considered a suffix, a konas nefoshes, and you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. This is what the Chasam Sofer has in one of his tshuvas, which is quoted, this line is quoted by the Pesachim Tshuva in the end of Yerideya. We have a din in Yerideya that v'yom tikberenu. When someone dies, it's a mitzvah to bury the person on the same day before Shkiah. Bayomahu means before Shkiah. And even if it's impossible to bury before Shkiah, the person died 2 minutes before the Shkiah, so how can you bury him before the Shkiah? You should still try, Lasol and Niblos Eyes, you should try to bury him before Alos HaShachar. If you wait till after Alos HaShachar, then you're in violation of Lasolin. Unless Haley Neulach Vodo. Let's say if they want to get all the members of the family should attend the funeral. The members of the family live on the other side of the world. They want to get more people to know to attend the funeral. So then the Mishnah says it's permissible to be Melech Sameis, Lechvodo Shalom Meis, unless it's in Yerushalayim. Then the Gemara has one of the 10 dinim. One of the Asara dinim Shenem Rabbi Yerushalayim is the Emelinim Boaz Sameis. What's the Chiddush Yerushalayim? The din is all over in the world, Emelinim Sameis. The Pasuk in Chumash, the answer the Rishonim explain is that if Eilinei Lechvod is usually permissible, and Yerushalayim is not permissible. Outside of Yerushalayim, it's the same din as the rest of the world. Eilinei Lechvod is mutter. So the governments in Europe in the early 1800s, mid-1800s, several of the countries passed laws that you're not allowed to bury anyone who died until 72 hours go by since the death certificate was signed, because they found out that sometimes the doctors signed the death certificate in mistake. They thought the person was dead and was really alive. So on rare instances, they were burying people alive. So because of a suffix sakana, so several of the governments in Europe passed such a law that you're not allowed to bury until after 72 hours go by, so you know for sure that the person is dead. So the question was brought up to the Chasam Sofer, maybe we should follow the Dina de Malchusa in this case. We never follow Dina Malchusa when it comes to Yisra Heter. The government says you're allowed to work on Shabbos, so we don't say Dina Malchusa, Dina allowed to work on Shabbos. The government says if you have a secular divorce, you're allowed to remarry, so we don't follow Dina Malchusa and Yisra Heter. It only applies in Dini Mamanis. And even there it has restricted application, doesn't always apply. But nonetheless, over here, this was a suggestion that some Rabbanim made to the Chasam Sefer, that maybe we should listen to what the government says, because it's Pasha the Sofik Sakana. And there is such a story related in Maseches Moches. Maseches Moches has Hilchas Avelus. It's called Ovel Rabbasi, known under two different names. Ovel Rabbasi, Maseches Moches, Aloshin Sagi Nohar. The Maseches Moches is not written by the Tanoim. All these Maseches Tanoim were written by the Gaonim, in the days of the Gaonim. Like Maseches Ofrin, also written, the Magen Avraham points out, is written in the days of the Gaonim. So the Maseches Moches relates such a story that once a person went to the cemetery to visit a grave, and he heard noise. Someone was banging, get me out of here, they locked me in here. And it turned out that they had buried someone thinking that he was alive. And the fellow crawled out of his grave, and they had kuchen. Didn't bury him 6 feet under the ground. They used to put him in shelves, in compartments in the wall, in the caves, in the ma'oris. There were man-made caves and man-made shelves and so on. The Gemara Bava Basra has this, on Daf Kuf, how the shelves were made. And the fellow crawled out, but they had a door around it. They locked the guy in, so he was banging on the door. And this person went to visit a different mace, saved his life. So you see that the Talmud itself tells, not really the Talmud, the Gaonim, and the Maseches Moches tells such a story.
These shelves are called kaburim? Nowadays call above ground burial.
Yeah. Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses above ground burial, you're not yet in the mitzvah, kfur has to be bekarka, but how much karka do you have to have? So it's sufficient if you have three tochim of offer above and three tochim of offer below. So we assume that that's probably what they have. They must have had three tvachim of offer above and three tvachim of offer below.
And the tshuva is not the modern
thing. He writes, if you have a mausoleum where they have three tvachim, is okay. If they don't, then they're not in fulfillment of kfura bekark. Right. So that's one source that they quoted. Then there's another. The Maseches Smachas tells the story that someone saved the life of one of the people who was buried alive. Then you have a mishnah in the end of Nida. Says if a Nida dies, a Nida has a certain tumah while she's alive that a mace doesn't have. But once the woman dies, so she's not a Nida, she's a mace. So she no longer has the tumas Nida, she only has the tumas mace. Derechlal tumas mace exceeds tumas Nida, but there's one aspect where tumas Nida exceeds. So the Mishnah has a din midirabbanan, a chumer midirabbanan, that a zava or a zava or a Nida who dies still maintains the tumah of a nida over the tumas ames up until the time that you see that the flesh of the body is rotting away and decomposing, because maybe we judged incorrectly. Maybe the person is really alive and we signed the death certificate incorrectly. So you see from the Mishnah that there's a possibility. They made a chumah midrabbanan because a lot of times you can misjudge and think that the person is still alive. So this was the suggestion that one of the rabbanim made to the Chasam Sofer. Maybe we should go along with the Din of the Machus and not bury any mace until after 72 hours go by to make sure that the person is really dead. So if you've ever looked in the Tshuva's Chasam Sofer, he always writes who the Tshuva is to. There are less than 10, maybe less than 5 Tshuva's, but he doesn't write who the Tshuva is to. So this Tshuva, he doesn't write who it's to. The reason why is obvious, because in the middle of the Tshuva, he writes, are you an apikoros? He writes to the rabbi, are you an apikoros? You don't believe in Torah min hashamayim? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, kavatik b'rena b'yom ahu. He must have told him at that time, what's the definition of death? And we have a tradition, if the person isn't breathing for 15, 20 minutes, we assume that he's dead, so we follow the halacha. But the Maseches Moches tells the story that once they saved the fellow's life, he says, that's once in 5,000 cases, that's not called the Sofek Sakana. Sofek Sakana has to be within reason, much less than 50-50, but it has to be something that's bo b'cheshbon. If it's such a far-fetched possibility of saving the person's life, echad mini elef, so that's not considered a Sofek Sakana. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes. That's assumed to be based on the Pasuk, the din that the Gemara developed is based on the Pasuk, Shem Repsayim Hashem. Sometimes you have a case where you have a situation where some people are nervous, other people are not nervous. So for those who are nervous, it's considered Safek Sakana. For those who are not nervous, it's not considered Safek Sakana. Sometimes you have a case when 99.99% of the people are not nervous, and this guy's just a crackpot. He's just a nervous wreck. So you give him a tranquilizer and tell him to calm down. We're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for you. That's Shemir Psaim Hashem, but lo dai te tzadas kol b'ni olim. So this is a principle. Shemir Psaim Hashem means if it's so far-fetched that it's not perceived, normal people don't perceive this as a sakana, it's not considered a sakana even for the one who is nervous about it. So that's what the Chasam Sefer writes in his Tshuva. This L'chayre, this Tshuva's Chasam Sefer, seems to be in disagreement with what the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik was a student of the Chasam Sefer, also a rabbi in Hungary. Seems to be in disagreement with the Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik's Tshuva is a very famous Tshuva these days, all about the Tzitz of the Peh, a topic which I'm sure everybody is familiar with. So the there's a double issue that's discussed. One issue is maybe you don't need Metzitza at all, because from the Gemara would appear that Metzitza is only for the purpose of preventing infection on the baby. So if you use antiseptics, bizman hazeh, so maybe you don't need any Metzitza at all. That's what the Teperes Yisrael HaMishnayis raises a possibility. And the second possibility is afilu timtzalayma, that you still should require Metzitza. In addition to the antiseptic, maybe the metzitza can be done with a tube, maybe it doesn't have to be done with pet. So this is a topic that's discussed by the Maharam Shik. So Maharam Shik and his tshuva writes, and even though the doctors say that you no longer need any metzitza, bizman hazeh, you can't rely on the doctors, because all medical knowledge is all based on experimentation, and they have 5,000 cases recorded that they performed circumcisions of babies and they didn't do any mitzitza at all and the baby survived. So, but it's still called the suffix sakana. Maybe in the 5,000, the first case, maybe they'll do another case, maybe the baby will die because they didn't do any mitzitza. And even if they have on record 20,000 cases, even if they have 100,000 cases on record that they performed circumcision on a baby, the baby didn't die, even though they didn't do mitzitza because they used antiseptic. Maybe if we do 101,000 cases, maybe the next case is going to die. And everything is called the suffix sakan. Even echad me elef alfei alof, one in a million is called the suffix sakan. So the pashtus is that his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, didn't agree with that. Chasam Sofer wrote in the tshuva, if it's so far-fetched, if sechad mini elef, that no normal person would ever be worried about such a sakana. It's not even called the suffix sakana for the person who is nervous. If it's a 1 out of 300, so for the one who's nervous is a suffix sakana. For the person who's not nervous, not a suffix sakana. But it's 1 out of 10,000. So even for the person who is nervous, we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. We would say it's not called the suffix sakana. That's all based on the principle of Shem Epsayim Hashem. The reason why the Chasam Sofer's tshuva doesn't have whom he's writing it to, we mention it because he writes, you are an apikoros, you don't believe in Torah Menashemayim. But we know who the tshuva was written to. It was written to the Maritz Chayis. Maritz Chayis was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sofer. So he published a separate sefer, My Correspondence with the Chasam Sofer. So he has his letter, and he has the Chasam Sofer's response. In case you don't believe him, that he is the one to whom the letter was written, it's very obvious. You look in the Chasam Sofer, it's very interesting. See, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvas, so you look at Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, he presents the whole Shaila. You don't have to know who the rabbi is who sent the letter. It doesn't make a difference. Rav Moshe presents the entire Shaila. With all its dotim lakana, kind of goes through the Chasam Sofer's Tshuvas are not like that. He responds to the letter that the person sent him. So if you don't know what the person sent him, you won't begin to understand what the Tshuva, the Chasam. There are many Tshuvas in the Chasam Sofer that we still don't understand. What in the world is he talking about? Why did he start talking about this and that and the other thing? What is he addressing over here? So in this Tshuva's Chasam Sofer, all of a sudden he starts talking about Amar Nevuchim on this week's Haftarah. When Elisha HaNavi revived the baby, so the Maran Nevuchim says that the baby didn't really die, it wasn't a Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara says that it was a Tchias HaMesim, that Elisha requested of Eliyahu HaNavi, he wanted Pishnayim Beruchacha, Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechaya one mace, and Elisha requested the ability to be Mechaya two mace, and he was given, his wish was granted, and it was Mechaya two mace. So one of them was the Ben HaShunam. So the Rambam in the Maran Nevuchim writes not so. He says the baby stopped breathing. We have recorded in medical records, That's what the Rambam writes, that they have recorded that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and then later on he came to. So just because a person stops breathing doesn't necessarily mean that he's dead. So that's the Mor Nevuchim that the Maritz Chayis had brought up to the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer says, And regarding what it says in the Mor Nebuchim, that's because he wrote him about the Mor Nebuchim. So he writes him back paragraph by paragraph. Every paragraph in the Chasam Sofer's response corresponds to the paragraph in the Maritzkaitz's letter that he sent him. Maritzkaitz printed the letter. So if you look at the response, you see what it is. So that's where the Chasam Sofer writes. You see from this Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim that this is not really the definition of life and death. It's not that he quotes the Gemara in the end of Yom comes on the pasuk in Parshas Noach, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim BeYapov, that as long as the person is breathing, he's alive. When he stops breathing, then he's dead. So the Chasam Sofer says you shouldn't think that that's a definition of life and death. When the person is able to breathe, he's alive. When he's not able to breathe, he's dead. It's not true. The Mor Nebuchim says that there was a person who wasn't breathing for 3 days and he was still alive. He came to later on. He said that's not the definition of life and death, but we have a tradition, must be from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kav Tigbarena by Yom Ahu. So he told him that if the Chevra Kadisha has that tradition, if the fellow stopped breathing for 15, 20 minutes, we assume that he's dead. This itself is not the definition of death, but this is an indication that he probably is dead. In rare instances, it's possible that he won't be breathing for a longer period of time, and he'll still be alive. But he says, you're not mechuyav to be concerned about that. So that's Shuv and the Chasam Sofer, where he writes about the Echad Min HaYelov. Happens to be in recent years that became a little more famous than the other Shuvas of the Chasam Sofer, because he touches on the topic of the definition of death. That the definition of death, he says, based on the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim, it doesn't really depend on ability to breathe or not ability to breathe. That's usually a similar dover that he's dead. It depends on something else. So what does it depend on? He doesn't go into that, but he says this is clear. It's not that inability to breathe is by definition dead. So this, fine. So we have a principle, pikuach nefesh is deicha kol ha-tokulos, deicha Shabbos, and even a suffix pikuach nefesh, even a sekzvik, even if you have a rove against it, but if it's an overwhelming rove, echad mina yelef, and people are just not worried about that, such a far-fetched possibility of pikuach nefesh, that people don't worry about this. Even for the person who is concerned, we say batel daita eitz adas kol bnei adam. We would apply the klal of Shem epsayim Hashem. That's not considered a suffix sakana. This will be relevant in a few minutes. We'll proceed. What's the din if you have pikuach nefesh of a nachri? Is that decha Shabbos? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says in Baba Kama the story that the Roman government once sent two representatives to the rabbis at the time that the Harosh HaBaal Peh was not yet available b'ksav. Now they say that the art scroll people have a standing order that whenever they put out a volume, they should send up 25 copies to the Vatican. But at that time, they didn't have any art scroll. So they came to the rabbis and they asked them they should teach them Kol HaTorah Kula. What were they asking? Teaching Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Yamshel Shloim explains on that Gemara and Baba Kama. The Marshal explains, apparently, they wanted to investigate whether the Jewish religion discriminates against the non-Jews. So they told them all the dinim, and they told them all the dinim straight. Everything based on psukim. Then there were a couple of dinim that the Nochrim were not so happy about. So one of those dinim was, the reason why it's in Baba Kama is because of the din of Nezikin. Shor she'isol shenogach shor shalakum is pater, shor shalakum shenogach shor she'isol, ben tam be'mud, mishalom nezik shalom. So that seems to be a discriminatory law. And if it would have been based on psukim, they wouldn't have complained, but if they didn't, the Nochrim didn't see how the drasha and the psukim indicated so. They asked me, Mon of Shach, they don't see it in the psukim. They thought maybe the rabbis are making it up. And then another din that they were not happy with was the din of Pikuach Nefesh on Nochri is not Decha Shabbos. So the Nochrim, the two representatives of the Roman government, promised the rabbis that they're very impressed with the rest of the Torah that they heard. They see that the rabbis are not discriminating. We believe that the Torah Min HaShamayim and God told us some of these dinim to discriminate. The others that they were not so convinced that they were from the Min HaShamayim. So they said they're not going to mass it to the Roman government. And then the rest of the story is related in the Talmud Yerushalmi and in the Midrashim that on their way traveling back to Rome, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't trust them. They promised the rabbis that they're not going to snitch to the Roman government regarding the three dinim that they were not happy about. And then the Midrash says on their way back to traveling to Rome, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to forget the three things that they were not happy about. They came back to Rome and they gave a report that the Jewish religion does not discriminate against non-Jews. So this is a difficult din. We don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate this din because apparently by us, Shabbos is not that important. If we would understand apparently the chashivas of Shabbos and Kashvas and Taras HaMishpach and all the other dinim, So we would understand why Pikuach Nefesh HaMenachri is not Derech HaKol HaTorah Kula by us. If this human life is so important, even life of Anachri by us is more important than all the mitzvahs HaTorah. So the Gemara learns from the Pesukim that it's just not so. It's only Pikuach Nefesh of Yisrael. Years ago they used to have a medical ethics hotline here in the yeshiva. So once on a Friday morning, a woman called up on the phone that she just converted to, she was a doctor in a dog hospital. And she called on the phone, she just converted that week. And this Shabbos says, on weekends, the hospital is not open full force, they only have a skeleton staff. And this week is her turn to serve in the hospital. And someone told her that she's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the dog. So she said, I thought Pikuach Nefesh is Derech HaKol HaTorah Kula. So the one who answered on the hotline said, that's only Pikuach Nefesh of people. He didn't want to say Jews. So she just said, only people, not animals. So she asked if he could consult one of the higher authorities to make sure. The fellow considered me a higher authority, and he called me. I said, yeah, that's the deal. So she said, wait a minute, she wouldn't have converted. So she loved the gemara. She would have waited till a later week to convert. So it became a psashtikal shayla on the gemara. Maybe the gemara was betoyf. Anyway, so that's clear. The koch nevesh of the behemus is not derech Shabbos. We even have a din, the gemara, mishnayis, defesh koch nevesh of anachri is not derech Shabbos. There was a prominent Talmid Chacham in Toronto who published a sefer where he wanted to say, based on a Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah, Pikuach Nefesh HaBegir Toshav is Derech HaShabbos, Derech HaKol HaTorah Kula, because the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah writes regarding a Ger Toshav that it's a mitzvah l'hachayoso. So he took it as meaning a mitzvah l'hachayoso to keep him alive. Pikuach Nefesh of the Ger Toshav is Derech HaShabbos. The Pasha Pshat in the Ramban doesn't mean that. The Ramban is just quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says a Ger Toshav mitzvah l'hachayoso. And in the context in the Gemara and Pesachim, in the second Torah, it means mitzvah l'achyosa, to give him tzedakah. The Gemara is working with the pasuk, to give charity to the poor. So the Gemara says a mitzvah to give to a ger toshav. Pashut pshat is that it's not correct, that pikuach nefesh of a ger toshav is derech Shabbos. Pashtus is that it's not correct. And even if it were correct, the pashtus is, we don't have any ger toshav bizman hazeh. The Gemara says a ger toshav has to accept upon himself in the presence of three Jews that he's going to observe all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And then the Gemara has a din in Perek HaZov, Bizman She'ein HaYovel Noach and Din Ger Toshav Noach. We haven't had Yovel Noach for many centuries, for many, many years. During the Bai Sheni, many Rishonim hold Yovel was only Midi Rabbanon. There was no Yovel in Atur. And after the Bai Sheni, Bechlal, there's no Yovel. We count every 7 years as a Shemitah. We don't insist that the 50th year is going to be a blank year. We don't count it as a blank year on the calendar. We don't have any Yovel at all, Bizman Hazeh. So the Pashto says you don't have any Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh. Rav Kook has a famous, difficult tshuva. Most of his tshuvas are standard style tshuvas. They say that the Chazon Ish used to recommend to boys who were learning halacha, Shulchan Aruch halacha, and Ponim, and other yeshivas, they should use Rav Kook's tshuvas. He has a classical style of writing tshuvas. He writes normal, regular tshuvas, like our Moshe, regular tshuvas. Except for this tshuva. This tshuva is very irregular. But the Heta Mechira, Vishnas HaShmito, rest of the tshuva is irregular. Except for one part, he writes that one of the members of his Bezin suggested that instead of selling Eretz Yisrael to a Christian, they should sell to a Muslim, because maybe you'll spare yourself the violation of Lo Sechonim. Maybe the Yisr, you're not allowed to sell parts of Eretz Yisrael to a Nochri, but if the Nochri is a Ger Toshav, that's what the word Ger Toshav means. Imcha Yeshav Bikir Becho. If he's a Ger Toshav, you're allowed to sell to him land in Eretz Yisrael. That's what a Ger Toshav means. So the suggestion was made that maybe all the Muslims, since the Christians worship Avodah Zarah outright, that's not a secret. They believe in the Trinity. But if you have Muslims who are monotheists, and they don't, they hold that Gezel is not allowed, and they hold that maybe they violate it, but they subscribe to the principle of Birchas Hashem and Gezel and Dinim and Arais and so on. They subscribe to all the principles. So maybe they have the Din of Ger Toshav. Aye, but Ein Mekablin Ger Toshav Bizman She'ein Yovel Noach. So Rav Kook makes the suggestion, a very shvera suggestion. Maybe that's only if you have to be Mekabel the Ger Toshav, if you don't know what is Ger Toshav. But this is a Chadov Yadum before Islam. Everybody in the whole wide world knows what Islam stands for. And Islam stands for observance of the officially observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So he suggests maybe you don't have to have the Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvahs in the presence of the Bezin Shal Shlosh. Maybe they have a din of Ger Toshav automatically, and we will save ourselves the issue of the Lo Sechonim if we'll sell to a Muslim as opposed to selling to a Christian. If you say that the Muslim have a din of Ger Toshav, and this leads you to the kula here. It should lead to a chumra in Hilcha Shabbos. The din is that we have a Shabbos goy. Amir Lenochri is not allowed. But on rare occasions, we have a heter on Amir Lenochri to milk the cows, the mokum tzab alechayim. And we have a pasuk in the Aseres Adibus that says, Ger Hashem B'Sharecho. So what does that refer to? Does a Ger Hashem B'Sharecho refer to a ger, a real convert, a converter, a ger tzedek, what we call a ger tzedek? So that's Ato. It says, L'salchasa kamalocha Ato. Anchamin Ato refers to all the Jewish people, including all the gerim in the future. So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beferish Ger Hashem B'Sharecho means the ger toishov, even though he never accepted to observe all the mitzvahs HaTorah. He only accepted to observe seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. There's an isra, amir l'nochri deraisa. It's prohibited based on the pasuk in Aseres Hadibros to ask the ger toishev to do malacha for me. So if Rav Kook's dayan came up with this einfach, that every Muslim in Eretz Yisrael has the status of a ger toishev, so you can never use him as a Shabbos goy. So we're developing a kula over here we want to sell to the Muslim as opposed to selling to the Christian. Then it's going to come out a chumah. The chumah is going to come out bigger than the whole kulah. So he makes a pshetl where this is already sticky, very, very shver, a part of the tshuva. Makes a pshetl where he says, no, the Muslims only have a din of ger tosha vis-a-vis selling Eretz Yisrael to them. With respect to Shabbos, they don't have. And he gives the whole dashin and time of the cross. So that part of the tshuva, not everybody's so happy with that. That's a little irregular. That's not his other tshuvas, our standard traditional style tshuvas. That's a questionable one. So that's the issue over here. Even if one should assume like this idea, which probably is not correct, that pikuach nefesh of a ger toshev is doicha Shabbos, which I'll be pashtus not correct, even if you should assume like that. But the pashtus says we don't have any ger toshev as manazah.
Do we say that even pikuach nefesh of a nachri is not doicha Shabbos, even when, how about if it's going to cause going to say that Jews are not coming to save
a... That's what we're going to have to discuss in a minute. Okay. The question is, even if you have a Jew, because never you have a Jew as Zecher Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have a Jew who's an Apikoros, and we have a rule Apikoros Dina Ka'achim with respect to many Dinim? Or even if he's not an Apikoros, you have a Kalal Mumer Dina Ka'achim. Mumer means one who violates Rov Dina HaTorah, that he's aware of. Mumer the Rov Dina HaTorah, that he's aware of. Mumer Chal Shabbos Befersi Dina Ka'achim. So also the Din should be that you're not, as Mishnah Berurah says, you shouldn't be permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save such a person. Yes, so the ability of the doctors to function on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos, to save the patients, will be extremely limited. he can only be Mechal Shabbos, save the patients of the Jews. So the Mishnah Berurah writes like this, he quotes in the name of the Prima Gadim, a complaint against the doctors that the Mechal Shabbos for the Nochrim, and there's no heter, and they're all Mechal Shabbos. All the doctors are Mechal Shabbos, and they're all going to burn in Gehenna. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, how can the Mishnah Berurah write this? He wasn't aware that the Chassam Sofer and the Divrei Chaim said that you have the ability to be Mechal Shabbos b'zman hazeh for the Nochrim. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. It's in the Hashmatis, in the end of Choshe Mishpat. He has Aruch Chaim, Yeredei, Ebenezer, Choshe Mishpat. Then the end of Choshe Mishpat doesn't have so many tshuvas on Choshe Mishpat. He has miscellaneous tshuvas that belong in the earlier volume. He has one of the tshuvas there about the local religious doctor in Presburg who was a Shem Shabbos, and they once, a non-Jewish farmer, sent a horse and a carriage to pick up the Jewish doctor, that he should come, way chutz l'tchum, he should, driver was going to pick up the Jewish doctor to treat the goyisha farmer, and then he was going to drive him back home on Shabbos. So the Jewish doctor went along, he treated the guy, and he came back home. So someone complained to the Chassam Sofer that the Jewish doctor is Mechal Shabbos HaShegetz. How can we respect him anymore? So Chassam Sofer says, calm down, what are you talking about? Everybody knows that he's the only, they didn't have 1,000 doctors, there was only one doctor in the whole city. So what's the Jew going to say? I have no hours today. So let the guy drop dead. He says, they'll make a pogrom. You can't, if a Jew, if it's known that he's a doctor, and he's going to say, all of a sudden, I don't want to treat the non-Jew. So they'll make a pogrom against all the Jews. They'll kill him, or they'll kill all the Jews. So it's a suffix sakana for the Jews. So the Chassam Sofer says, you're permitted, the doctor who is treating Jewish patients is allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to treat the non-Jewish patients as well. Because it'll be, not because it's a pikuach nefesh for the Nochri, the Halacha assumes that that's not the Shabbos, but rather because it's a pikuach nefesh for the doctor himself or for the whole Jewish community, you can expect a pogrom. It depends what the situation is. Let's say you have a doctor, let's say in New York. A Jewish doctor will say in the middle. He has a non-Jewish patient that he has to treat in the hospital. They won't say, I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos because this person is a Nachri. They say, I quit in the middle of the day. He's had it. He quits. He doesn't want to be a doctor anymore. So they tell him, Geme Gesundheit, we'll get another doctor. He can shake out of any building over here in New York. There are many doctors over here. So there shouldn't be any hatzet to be Mechal Shabbos. It depends on the Chassam Sofer situation. There was one doctor for the whole Pressburg. Everybody knew that he was a local doctor. What's he going to say? I quit, I retire, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. What do you mean you're retiring? You're going to be responsible for the death of this farmer who sent you the horse and the wagon. But if you live in a city where there are many, many, many doctors, the doctor's going to have a nachri, so he can say simply, I quit, I resign, I don't want to be a doctor. I'm going to get someone else. Someone else will take over the job. So what's taka the heter? What's taka the heter to be mechal Shabbos bayatz? So l'chor, the only heter is the following. If you have a hospital where the majority of the patients are Jewish, or it's basically a federation hospital that was founded by the Jewish community in order to treat the Jews, or neither of the above, the majority of the patients are not Jewish, not a federation hospital, it's a city hospital, but it's in a Jewish neighborhood, and you know that there are always Jewish patients there. Maybe once in a long while there's no Jewish patient, but you can say that there are always Jewish patients. So that's certainly permissible to go to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the Jewish patients. That's certainly permissible. So then once you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the Jewish patients, then we say that he has no choice. In order to deal with the Jewish patients, he's permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochem as well. But let's say a Jew should take a religious doctor should take a job in Idaho or Wisconsin. It's not a federation hospital. It's not down the block from the Crown Heights Jewish community. It's not that the majority of patients are Jewish. Once every 5 years, there'll be a Jewish patient there. So you're going to say, yeah, I'm going to take care of this to save all the Jewish lives. What are you talking about? Once every 5,000 patients is a Jewish person. That's not called. You can't really say with a straight face you're going to be. You're taking a job there to save the lives of the Jewish patients. You're taking a job to be Mechal Shabbos. So just because once in a while there'll be a pikuach nefesh for a Jew, that's not cause to permit the doctor to take such a position. I'll be pashtos.
Is there any
The Gemara talks. The Rishonim discuss on the Gemara violating Isturim Derabbanan b'makom Eva. Where the Nochem are going to feel hurt, slighted over the fact that the Jew didn't want to treat them. So Moshe Feinstein and others write that there are different degrees of Eva. Sometimes Eva is so serious that when Mata, sometimes Eva is a suffix sakana. So when Mata Venisa deraisa, sometimes Eva is Mata Venisa derabbanan. Sometimes it's so insignificant it's not Mata anything at all. But I don't know if there would be such an Eva. Just don't take the job.
Isn't there a story of the motorcycle crash? An Arab crashed on Shabbos, and the Jews didn't want to even call someone.
Years ago, there was such a story that a representative of one of the black nations in Eretz Yisrael, a United Nations representative or something, was in an accident at Meir Shorim, and no one lifted up a telephone to call. The whole thing was above a mice. And no one lifted a telephone to call an ambulance, and he died there on the street. So they started writing in the secular newspaper, and I thought they were writing and attacking the Jewish community. Then it turned out a half year later the whole story was not true. It never happened. The whole story never happened. So at that time, Chief Rabbi was Rabbi Yunterman. He happened to come to visit the yeshiva before it was discovered that the whole thing was a hoax. So he happened to visit the yeshiva and invited him to speak in the Lampert Auditorium. So he spoke a little bit about that. What's the din of pikuach nefesh of nochem? So he said, pikuach nefesh of nochem is deicha Shabbos because the pasuk says derachah darchi noyam chol nisiv esecha shalom, and the Gemara in Yevamis learns that dinim from darchi noyam. We establish halachas of hilchas yibum v'chalitza based on that pasuk. He said, we established the dinim of Pikuach Nevesh also based on that pasuk, based on Darchi Noyam. So Pikuach Nevesh of a Nachri is Decha Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik was not present when he spoke. But he asked one of the students later on, what did the chief rabbi say? So they told him what he said. So he was not happy with that. He said, what kind of baloney is that? He said, Bobamaisis, there is no sense. It's like the Chassam Sofer said, if we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nachri, he said, it'll make a pogrom against the Jews. It's not that it's based on Darchi Noyam, it's a din. That the modern people find, modern Orthodox Jews find it difficult to swallow that din, that Pikuach Nevesh of a Nachri is not Decha Shabbos, that we consider the mitzvah Satorah more important than human life. We're so used to thinking how important human beings are. So we find it hard to believe that Shmiras Kala Mitzvahs is more important than Pikuach Nevesh of a Nachri. But that's the din. And the only reason why we assume that it is Decha Shabbos is because what the Chassam Sofer said, that they'll make a pogrom against the Jews.
Is there any heter to rely on this Mi'iri, who assumes that for most Hekaturim, the Mi'iri also says it in terms of Chol Shabbos in one place?
That there are different types of Nachrim, that some worship Avodah Zarah, they worship sticks and stones, and then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save their lives. But if it's a decent Nachri, so that's classically, that's not the accepted opinion. It's, the Mi'iri has in a few places such a statement. It's a problematic Mi'iri.
With any plain
lot,
we don't have a
heter,
so even without
shabbos,
just a plain
lot
also can't be
offered
to save a
god. Right, unless there's concern that there'll be a pogrom, so then you have to be concerned about your pikuach nefesh, the pikuach nefesh of the whole Jewish community, which is still a concern. Still is anti-Semitism in the world.
The case of going to a Jewish hospital and then having to treat the sort of going in the sort of Yachido, I don't understand why there should be a heter for that. I mean, you could always say, I'm here to treat only Jews. I mean, if you're concerned that that leads to a pogrom, but that should be a heter of itself, or is it only because of concern for the pogrom?
No, we have the right and the obligation to establish hospitals to take care of the Jewish people. Once you have such a hospital, you have no choice. Shari Tzedek and all the hospitals, they treat the Arabs as well.
So
they have to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochem as well. Otherwise, they make a pogrom.
I guess two related questions. One would be, do we really paskin like that Mishnah Berurah that a Jew who's, let's say, Mount should not be chorus. I mean, I don't know about the Chilonim nowadays, but Mount should not be chorus. So we paskin that he's a goy for the Chil Shabbos?
I think we do. The only question is, what if a person is an apikoros b'shogeg? What if he was brought up like that by his parents? So that's a big diyun, whether apikoros b'shogeg is also dina ka'akum or not. So the Chazanish has a simon base in Chelek Yeridei. He talks about apikoros b'shochad. So he discusses the topic of apikoros b'shogeg, whether it's dina ka'akum. So he's not sure. On the top of the page in the text of the Sefer, he writes one way. And the footnotes on the bottom of the page, he writes, he's not sure, maybe it's the other way. That's still an issue. Whether Apikoros B'shogeg is also Dina Ka'akum or not. There is an issue that has to be discussed a little bit regarding this din of Pikuach Nefesh being Decha Shabbos. Is this a Bechina of Dechuya or Hutra? What does that mean? Life is always full of conflicts, and there are always contradictory concerns. And much of the discussions in the Gemara, a lot of the Gemaras tell you what the dinim are. And much of the Gemaras tell you, what do you do when there's a conflict of interest that you have on the one hand one mitzvah, on the other hand you have another mitzvah. So we have rules and regulations. When do you say Esa Decha Lo Isese? When do you not say Esa Decha Lo Isese? So the Gemara has in the first perek in Yuman Davav, the Gemara has a machloikis amaroim and turns out to be really a machloikis atanoim regarding the din that certain korbanos may be brought in a state of tumah. Usually say a korban tzibur. It's not exactly accurate. It doesn't really depend on korban tzibur versus korban yoch. It really depends on korban shezmano kavua versus a korban shein zmano kavua. Most of the time, 95% of the time, a korban tzibur is going to be zmano kavua. 95% of the time a korban yochid is going to be a korban shein zmano kavua. There are exceptions to the rule where a korban tzibur is ein zmano kavua, a korban yochid is zmano kavua. So this din really depends on korban shein zmano kavua. But the Gemara calls it korban tzibur is decha tumah. The Gemara has a machloikis hamaroim, and it turns out to be a machloikis hatanoim, whether this heter is a b'china of hutra or d'chuya. Hutra means heter gomer. You don't even have to try to avoid it. And d'chuya means b'koshi hitira hater. That's Rashi's expression in Brachas on Daf Chof. B'koshi hitira hater. There's such a dispute in Shulchan Aruch regarding there we paskin d'chuya. There we paskin that Korban Tzibur is d'chetumah. It's not that it's hutra. It's only the Rama paskins that it's d'chuya. Mila b'Shabbos, Mila b'Shmini is Deicha Shabbos, so the Vilna Gaon explains that it's a machlokes in the Mechaber d'Ramah, whether it's the Chuya Hutra and it has a nafkamina. Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is a machlokes HaRishonim, in the end of Yuma. The Rosh quotes a machlokes HaRishonim, whether Pikuach Nefesh, Deicha Shabbos is a b'china of Hutra or b'china of the Chuya. There's a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer that's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva in the end of Yeredeya, when the Yeredeya has the siman that Kohanim are not permitted to be metame lemesim, so the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer that what if the Hatzolah member is a Kohen and somebody lost his pulse, someone seems to be dead, and there's a chance that you can revive him. So the din is that even though a Kohen is not permitted to be metame lemesim, or let's say a Kohen is not even allowed to come into oil agoises, that's a machlokes Abai v'Rov in the Gemara Nazir. Agosis means Agosis Kechai L'chol Dvar. Agosis is alive. He's not dead. He's not metame yet. But Agosis means a person in whom the process of death has already set in. He's already beginning to die. That's the Rambam's definition in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Aholos. That death is a process, and Agosis means a person in whom the process of death has already begun. So you have to know what's the definition of death and what's the beginning of the process and what's the end of the process. That's I'm sure someone else will give a talk about that. How do you determine when the process has begun? How do you determine when the process of death has is completed? So the Gemara has a machlokes Abai v'Rava. Is the Kohen forbidden, the Kohen and the Nazir, same din, and that's why it's a Maseches Nazir. Is the Kohen permitted or prohibited from entering into the oil agoises? And the Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokes the Mechaber and the Ramah. And the Ramah paskins v'Ashkenazim, he's not allowed to go into the oil agoises. So let's say you have a Kohen who's a doctor, or there's a Kohen who's on the Hatzolah. Here in the neighborhood, the Hatzolah was organized by a Kohen. By Kaganov. He organized the whole Hatzolah. So sometimes he would deal with a person who is absolutely dead. And he would work and work and work until he realized he's not getting anywhere. So then he had to leave. But calls him on that there's a chance to bring the person back to life. So then the din is that the Sofik Bikoch Nefesh is doicha the din of the Kohen entering the oil agoises, or it's doicha the din of Tumas Hameis. Let's say in the hospital ward, there are other patients who, there's one patient who died already, and there's another patient who needs care. So you're going to say the Kohen who's a doctor, how did the Kohen become a doctor is another question. How do you ever go to medical school in the first place? It's a different problem. But once in a while you have a religious Kohen, however it turned out, who is from a doctor. So the Kohen sometimes has to go treat the patient, even though he's in the same room with the Goyses, even though on the same hall with the Goyses. For the sake of Pikoch Nefesh, he's allowed to. So this is the Shaila. Is this the Chuya or Hutra? Is this Heter Gomer? Or do you have to try to avoid it as the Chuya? So the Chasam Sofer is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, and that's Simon in the end of Yeredeya, by the Tumas Kohan, the Kohen is not allowed to be Matan Mason, that this Machloikis in the end of Yuma, that the Rosh quotes, is only by Shabbos. Whether Pikoch Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Chuya. And Kol HaTarkula, everybody agrees that it's the Chuya. As far as other Yisurim are concerned, everyone agrees that it's the Chuyim. The Rishonim draw a distinction between eating Macholos Asuras and Chil Shabbos. So it's not clear exactly what the distinction is. So the Chasam Sofer says that's what it means. Everything versus Shabbos. Shabbos is a special pasuk, and that's why there's room to say that Shabbos is Hutra. But in Kol HaTarkula, for sure it's the Chuyim. This is how we understand the Gemara. In the end of Yuma says, let's say a patient is sick and he's dying and the doctors say he has to eat some kind of food, otherwise he's going to lose his life. And he can either save his life by eating A or B, and they're both non-kosher. But one of them is Chaleb that has an Issa Karis, and one is Nevela that only has an Issa Lav. But he has to eat either one or the other. These are the only two choices. He has two things. He can either eat Tevel, which is Misa B'dei Shamayim, or he can eat Chaleb, which is Karis. So the Gemara says Chaleb is Mochom. Chorus is a greater onish than Misa B'dei Shamayim. And Misa B'dei Shamayim is a greater onish than Stam Old Malkus. So the Gemara has a rule, when you have a chod, sheish b'sakanim, achilim osa hakal hakal tchilo. You have to try to violate the lesser avera and save his life. And if that's not enough, then you have to violate the more serious avera. So the chayre, why do you have to be medaktek machila masa hakala kal tchila? If the din would have been that it's hutra, whenever there's a situation of a pikuach nefesh, none of the laws apply. So the Gemara says in Yuma, the difference between hutra and tchuya is you have to try to avoid it. So if the din would have been hutra, why does the Gemara say you have to try to avoid it, to violate only the lesser of the two averis? So you see clearly from the Gemara, then that's what the Chassam Sofer claims. And in Kol HaTerkula, pikuach nefesh is not matir the yis, it's not hutra, it's only dechuya. On Shabbos it's a machloikas. And even on Shabbos, the Ramah says that we should be machmer to treat it like dechuya. So we should always try to avoid the chilul Shabbos. So let's say, for example, there's a hatzala call. And either the kohen can go, or a non-kohen can go. So if the non-kohen is gone, or let's say there's a patient in the hospital who's half dead, he's a geisus. Or it's in the oil a geisus, it's in the same ward on that floor, there's a person who is a geisus. Either the kohen can go or someone else can go. So since in Kol HaTerkul, as far as Tumas Kohanim is concerned, and even Hilcha Shabbos, the Ramah's Machmer also to be treated like the Chuyah, not like Hutra. So whenever the Pikuach Nefesh is taken care of by someone else, so the Kohen shouldn't go, and you really shouldn't go on Shabbos, Alpi Pashtus. The only thing is, what if I'm a better doctor than him? Let's say there's a Nochri taking care of the hospital on Shabbos, but I'm more qualified. The Nochri may not know how to save his life, and I know better than the Nochri. So that's called the Sofik Pikuach Nefesh, or let's say the Hatzola group. So Keganov is taka very good. So Keganov is better than most of the guys. So the Kohen should go. Even though he's dealing with a geis, he's dealing with a person who may be dead already, more than a geis is. But if he's better equipped to save his life than the other people, so that's, you can't say, Efshe l'kayim shneim, let someone else take care of the patient. It could well be that I can take care, the other guy does know how to take care. What is a machloikis is a strange machloikis between the Chassam Sofer and the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva there, not Simon, quotes a Chassam Sofer and he personally disagrees. Usually the Pischei Tshuva doesn't give his own opinion. Usually he just quotes what the other apostle says. So here he disagrees with the Chassam Sofer, and I think it's usually assumed not like the Pischei Tshuva, it's usually assumed like the Chassam Sofer. He quotes that in Maseches Nedarim, there is a din in the Mishnah that's quoted in Yerideya and Hilchas Nedarim, the beginning of Chel Gimel Yerideya. Let's say a person took a neder not to get hanor from so-and-so. I don't like him, so I took a neder not to get hanor. Then I'm deathly sick, and I need a doctor to treat me. Pliny happens to be a doctor. But I got another 25 doctors. They're all very good doctors. Pliny is not a better doctor than the others. They're all equally qualified. So it says in the Gemara that when I took the neder not to get hanor from Pliny, I never intended I never intended to take a neder to lose my life. And since there is a concept that lav mikolodam od mezecha lehisrapois, sometimes the gzera min hashamayim is that this doctor will be the shliach to give me the refuah, and the other doctor's not, even though this doctor is not really better than the other doctor. Sometimes min hashamayim, that's the gzera. So since when people take in there, they get angry at someone else, they take in there not to get any hanoah. But this adke dekach, they never intended that they shouldn't get hanoah, they should possibly lose their life. So since mechevose lo yadre, he never intended to lose his life, so the neder doesn't include such a situation. The doctor whom I took a neder not to get hanoah from is permitted to treat me, even though there are other doctors who are equally qualified. So the Chassam Sofer claims that svara is only a svara in Hilchus Nedarim. Nedarim halacha chaloshim neyodim. You have to determine what's included in the neder, what's not included, based on reading people's minds. What do normal people probably have in mind when they take a neder? So people think, well, there's a possibility, maybe even though the doctors are equally qualified, maybe this doctor will be the shliach l'toiva, the other one will not, so I certainly never included that in my neder. But let's say you don't have a case of a neder. You have a patient who's sick. And the doctors are all equally qualified. The kohen is not better than the others. Everybody's equally qualified. So do you say the kohen is permitted to go into the oil agosis in order to treat the patient because of the svara? So the Chassam Sofer says, no, that's a baba maisa. That's in Loshen in Das Bnei Yodam. We established that people probably never included in their neder that they're not going to get hanoah, even in a case where their life is in danger. Even though the other doctors are just as good. No, but people have, psychologically, they have a hang-up. Maybe he'll be the shliach l'toiv, and the other doctor won't be the shliach l'toiv to save my life. But to say that it's really considered a suffix, sakanas nefashis, some sefer thinks that it's not. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, and he disagrees, and he thinks that this svara vav mikolodim on zechel leisrapus is even enough of a svara to permit the koyin doctor to be metamela mesim in a situation. We have other doctors who are equally qualified. But as I say, the pashtus is that we usually assume that, I think, like the Chasam Sofer in such a case. Let's say on Shabbos you have a hospital where you have non-Jewish doctors that are taking care of all the patients. And they do a good job. We have never heard that the non-Jewish doctors are negligent in their job. They do a reasonably good job. The Jewish doctor doesn't think that he's more qualified than a non-Jewish doctor. So is a Jewish doctor permitted to run in on Shabbos to be Mechal Shabbos instead of the Nachrim? The Pashtus is not allowed to. The Pashtus is you're not allowed to. If all of the Piyuchon Nafesh is being taken care of, so you can say, La Mikol Adam An Zecha L'Srapois, so it's a suffix, Akonis Nefashis, maybe they need me. You don't think that you're better than the other. Nobody thinks I'm better than the other doctor. He's taken care of by the Nochrim doctor. So we assume that there's no need. If the din would have been that Bikoch Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra, like some Rishonim say, so you don't have to try to figure out whether it's taken care of by someone else. But the Ramos says that we should follow the opinion that is Dechuya. Ramos says not only Kol HaTarkula is Dechuya, even Shabbos, we also follow the opinion that is Dechuya. That means whenever there's no tzorech, whenever there's no real tzorech to save the person's life by being Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos.
That includes choosing whether to call a guy or call a Jew?
Yeah. That's what the Ramos talking about. That exactly what I said.
That's the Ramos is creeping with that.
Right. The Ramos says you should, whenever it's possible, to have a non-Jewish taxi service take the chola to the hospital as opposed to a Jew, then it's preferable to have the non-Jew unless there's a concern that it may dilly-dally.
Not necessary. But I thought there's also concern that the next time people think you need to have a guy, do wrong.
So that's what the Mechaber, that's when the Mechaber quotes from the Rambam. The Gemara says that when you have to be Mechal Shabbos in the Jewish community, when there are only Jews there, there are no non-Jews, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, so you shouldn't have Noshim or Ketanim do the Chil Shabbos, you should have Gedolim. So the Pasha Pshat, Ketanim means before Bar Mitzvah, and Gedolim means after Bar Mitzvah. Because if you'll insist on having the children be Mechal Shabbos or the women, so people may get the mistaken impression that it's really to be avoided because nefesh. It's not Becher Shabbos, it's only for people who are not so observant. You should have Davki Gedolim people after Bar Mitzvah. So when the Raman quotes that Gemara, he understands Gedolim in the sense Gedoli Torah. He says, Ein osim dovez al de ketanim al de gedoli yisrov ha-chachameyim. He says, the Rabbanim should be Mechal Shabbos. He says, you should go out of your way, even though you have Nochrim. You should go out of your way that there shouldn't be a mistaken impression for next time. So the Ramah says we don't follow that Rambam. The Ramah says we should try to avoid, whenever possible, having a Jew do the Chil Shabbos, unless we're concerned that there may be a delay, so the person may lose his life because of the delay.
Can we use a svara for a Jew that decides to not have enough from that doctor, that if it's a life or death situation, it would be the equivalent to suicide if it's a case of bikuach nefesh for him not to have it from that doctor?
Right, he certainly never included that. Right? That's what we assume, but the question is, does it really correspond to reality? There really is such a concern. So in Kol HaTarkula, that's considered also a suffix sakana. That's what the Pischei Tshuva assumes. Chasam Sofer says, no, that's only when you're determining what people had in mind when they took another. So psychologically, they never had that in mind. But as far as really surim, we don't assume that just if the doctors are all equally qualified, why should you assume that maybe the refuah will only come from this doctor, not that doctor, and therefore it's a suffix sakana, maybe I have to run in.
How would you
survive
with a medical training programs then, where they sometimes are required to actually come
home? So Ramesha Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses the din is that pikoch nefesh is decha Shabbos. So what if a person goes to medical school training where he has to be mechal Shabbos in school? So Moshe says that that's not a sufficient cause to be Mechal Shabbos, even though the medical students claim, if you look in these Marmekoimus, this is number Vov, on page Nun Aleph, even though the word goes that medical school, where they require Chil Shabbos, that's a better school, and the doctors who will graduate from that school will be better qualified to treat patients, and the end result will be, ultimately, that they'll save more lives. because they'll be better qualified. So it's a pikuach nefesh. They should be allowed to be mechal Shabbos now when they're in medical school, because in the end, ultimately, they're going to be saving more lives. So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that that's a joke. And he gives a moshel. He says, if a person has a lot of money, he has a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Would you say that a person is mechuyev to go earn $1 million in order to have money to give tzedakah? He says, not mechuyev. Not mechuyev. He never earned $1 million. He wasn't interested. With all those igris moshes that he sold, he never made $1 million. So he said, not mechuyev to make a lot of money in order to give a lot of tzedakah. If he happened to have money, he's mechuyev to give tzedakah. He says also, you're not mechuyev to go to medical school in order to be able to save people's lives. If you have medical knowledge, if you already graduated medical school and you have a license, so then if there's a chayla, then you're mechuyev to be mechal Shabbos to save his life. But to say you're mechuyev to be mechal Shabbos to go to medical school in order to be a better qualified doctor, he says he doesn't think that that's a cheshbon. Ein zechiyev al kol adam mebchinas pikuach nefesh. Another reason why it's not a valid cheshbon is as follows. I have on page Nun Beis, at the end of that paragraph, Vav, the Nodi Behuda has a famous difficult tshuva where he talks about autopsies. The Gemara says in Chulin, the first parak, you're not allowed to perform an autopsy because it's Bizoyer Ameis. So what happens if they're performing an autopsy in order to discover additional information about this disease, so that the more information they have about the sickness, they'll be able to cure it in the future? So that was the practice for many years. That's how medicine advanced, by doing autopsies so often. So they discovered more about the nature of the diseases, and that's how they learned how to cure all these diseases, that they can cure. So the Nadi Behuda writes that he doesn't think it's permissible to perform an autopsy, even in order to save someone else's life, unless you have a chayla lefaneinu. Why do you have to have a chayla lefaneinu? That's what all the later poskim say. It doesn't make any sense. Why did the Nadi Behuda insist you have to have a chayla lefaneinu? So the different suggestions, what did the Nadi Behuda have in mind by this? The Chazon Ish, in two different places, gives two different explanations for this. And they're both relevant, linyoneinu. So one explanation that he gives in the Sefer HaNaholus is that if you have a far-fetched suffix sakana, everything is very unclear. If you have a Sfek Sfeika, so the Meiri showed the Gemara in Yuma that you are Decha Shabbos. The Gemara says even a Sfek Bikroch Nefesh. Then the Meiri shows the Gemara even Sfek Sfeika. And then the Gemara says even if you have a Roiv, the Roiv is that he is dead already, the Roiv is that it's not going to help, the Roiv is that he's not going to die anyway, you ignore the Roiv and you Mechal Shabbos because of the Sfek possibility. But if it's a far-fetched sex fake into the future, it's going to turn out to be Echad Mina Yalef. That's what the Chassam Sofer spoke about. A far-fetched thing. There's a far-out chance, one chance in 1,000, that he's really going to save more lives. The people, the Frumah doctors who went to medical school where they were Shem Shabbos, deny that this is true. Of course they're all going to deny. They say it's not true that if you were trained in a medical school, in a superior medical school where they had Chil Shabbos, that you're going to turn out to be a better doctor, you're going to save more lives. They deny it. They say it's not true. It all depends on each doctor. You can be in the best medical school and not be a good student, and you won't save as many lives. And you can be in not as good a medical school, and you will save a lot of lives, depending on how conscientious the doctor is and how much he's going to follow up and read up on the latest developments in medicine. So that's one suggestion that the Chazon Ish gives in the Kavanah of the Nadi Behuda. That if everything is dependent in the distant future, you don't have a chayla lefaneinu. We think that if we'll do an autopsy, there's a chance that we'll gain more information about this disease and we'll be able to save someone's life. So that's what the Chazon Ish suggests, pshat and Nadi Behuda. If there's no chayla lefaneinu, the whole thing is so vague and so unclear, that's like a safek echad min hayalef, that he's not prepared to be mekel on that. It's the same over here, to say that a person is permitted to go to medical school to be Mechal Shabbos, al shem ha-sofo, that he's going to save more lives. So Rav Moshe gave his explanation why he doesn't think it's permissible. And others say it's not permissible because it's not so clear at all that he's going to really save more lives that way.
So therefore, if there's a chulah during med school only on Shabbos, then would that be permissible to go to that kind of med school?
Again?
If they had a whole list on injuries, you know, that they were you know, on the job, they were in the hospital and working, and they're being rofe on Shabbos.
Yeah.
During the medical school, would that make the med school permissible for somebody to go to?
mean, they're dealing with a Jewish hospital?
Meaning it's not, they're not taking classes or coursework on Shabbos. Like
yeah.
Instead, they're actually being rofe. So
that's like a doctor who sometimes has a hetzer to be mechal Shabbos. If it's a Jewish hospital, or if it's the majority of the patients are Jewish. Well, we know there are always Jewish people there. We know they always service some Jewish people.
So
then it's certainly permissible to join such a staff of such a hospital. And even though it means later on that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the Nochem as well.
If I always said that the Ramah says that Mechal Shabbos is in Dechuya, so assuming that the hospital has enough doctors who are, say, Nochrim, I don't know what the case, if they have secular Jews there, I don't know how that impacts on it. But if they have a full staff, one way or the other, then why should there be a heter?
It's a good question. I mean, all the hospitals are taken, all the Jewish patients are taken care of by the non-Jewish doctors and the Mechal Shabbos Jewish doctors. So why should it be a heter for any Jew to go into medicine? Everyone's lives are taken care of already.
The budgets for the hospitals are full, they're not looking to hire any extra money. Say
There's always a doctor who retires, then they have to replace him with someone else. So you're asking a question, why should Hashem and Shabbos ever be allowed to join a hospital? There are always going to be enough non-Jews to take care of all the patients. So what's the heter? It's a very good point. I don't know. People make a mistake. People think that the doctors are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. They're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. They're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Litzorach bikoach nefesh. If there's not bikoach nefesh...
Maybe one of his patients still have a group of patients, and once a doctor and a patient have a relationship, then the patient, I believe, the patient's allowed to say, I trust this doctor more. He knows my case.
Okay.
So then once he has a bunch of patients, then when they need him on Shabbos, he needs to be on the staff.
Okay, that we understand. But the question is, how is it permissible to become a doctor in the first place? And you know you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. I mean, not necessarily. Not every doctor is Mechal Shabbos.
It's like all the other questions. Can you put yourself in a situation where down the road, a few days or a few years later, you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos?
Right. So that's a major topic. That is a major topic. Is a person permitted to put himself into a situation where he knows that he's going to have to do an Avera later, which is going to have a heter of Pikuach Nefesh? So we assume that generally you're not allowed to, but Mokka Mitzvah, you are allowed to. That's the Gemara in the first parak, the end of the first parak of Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin quotes a braisa, you're not permitted to go on a boat trip, Eim Afligim Esfino, Gimel Yom and Samach LeShabbos. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's what it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The only one says it only goes on Thursday and Friday. Gimel Yom includes the Shabbos. And others say, no, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So the different interpretations in that Gemara, what's the issue? Why is it awesome? Some interpret because if you're going on a boat trip, you're going to get seasick, and you'll be throwing up on Shabbos, and you're going to ruin your Einik Shabbos. Other Rishonim interpret that the boat is going to be going Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum. In most cases, the boat will not be in violation of Tchumen, because if the bottom of the boat is not within 10 Tfachim to the ground, then we pass again Ein Tchum L'Mala Me'asor Tfachim. So the Din and the Gemara will rarely apply. It only applies in such a shallow river where the bottom of the boat is within Asar Tfachim to the ground. And the third pshat is the Balamoras pshat. Famous Balamor on Shabbos interprets the braisa as follows. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip because there may be a suffix sakana in the middle of Shabbos, and on which occasion they will expect all of the passengers to help do Chilul Shabbos in order to save everyone's life. Usually that's not what happens. They have sometimes they have more people working on the boat. I just read, they had an article in the paper, there were 151 passengers and there were 161 people working on the boat. There were more people working on the boat than they had passengers. They just had the other day an article in a newspaper about a certain boat. So that's rarely the case. That's not what happens. But apparently the Balamor interprets that Bizmana Tanoim, that would be a common practice, that they would expect the passengers on the boat to help out to save all of their lives. So he says you're not allowed to, not permitted to put yourself into a situation where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos, even though the Chil Shabbos will have a heter of Pikuach Nefesh. But then the Gemara says that if you're going B'maka Mitzvah, then it's permissible. If a person is going for the purpose of pinyin shvoyim, alum matar, or something like that, then he is permitted to go on such a boat trip, and it's not a violation of machnas atzma lemakom sakana. So here we assume, let's say, a person develops a medical practice. He's not interested in being Mechal Shabbos. He wants to help all the patients. Once in a while, it depends what area of medicine he's in. So many areas of medicine, you can practice medicine without being Mechal Shabbos. Once in a while, you have to be Mechal Shabbos. So that's not called Machnas Atzma L'Mokhem Sakonis Nefoshis, Machnas Atzma L'Tchias Yisur. Since it's B'Mokhem Mitzvah, so we would assume that that is permissible. To treat patients, to heal them, we would assume is permissible. So that's okay. So it's only permissible to practice medicine in such a way if there's a possibility that he won't have to be Mechal Shabbos at all. Or if you have no choice, let's say you have a hospital where you don't want to have Arabs in Eretz Yisrael, you have a hospital, you don't want to have Arabs working on the staff. You want to have only Jewish workers. So then it's not so unreasonable. So then you have no choice. If you have no choice, then it's certainly permissible. There is a Gemara in Erevin.
So if someone thought that before they decided to go into medicine, they realized, recognizing themselves, they would be very, very good to have been better than others. So then, even with that tefillah, they would be able to go there.
Okay. So he'll be better than the others. Yeah, then he has an obligation to go. Yeah. There is a Gemara in Erevin that talks about if there were terrorists who came into Eretz Yisrael and the government had to send the army there, and the army went and they took care of whatever they had to kill a couple of people, use a couple of bombs, whatever. So when they're finished, what do? They have to wait there in the middle of Shabbos, or can they come back? So the Gemara says we permit them to come back later on. And this is usually referred to with the expression Hitiris Bofa Mishum Trilosam. We permit the soldiers to come back on Shabbos, even though they're going to come Chutz L'Tchum, and they're going to carry all of their weapons with them, they're going to carry their ammunition with them. We permit this because if not so, if you'll tell them that when they finish their maneuvers, when they finish doing whatever they have to do, they have to wait there. So next time they're going to think twice about going. When they'll hear that there's a sakana, they'll figure we'll wait till after Havdalah, then we'll go. Why should we go on Shabbos and then we'll have to sit there in the middle of the desert, we'll wait till after Shabbos, and some may lose their lives because of the postponement of the army coming. The Gemara in the first Perek in Beitza has a long discussion of Hitiru Sofim Shem Trilos in different cases. The Gemara never gives that as an example. But the Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva quotes some Rishonim who seem Tosfos seems to understand that Gemara in Erevin. It's also based on this concept. Hitiru Sofim Shem Trilos, that's considered Pikuach Nefesh. If you won't give the doctor a break, if a doctor has to run to the hospital and be Mechal Shabbos to save a Chayla, if we will not allow him to come back home on Shabbos to spend the rest of the day with his family, so next Shabbos he may not want to go. He'll remember the tzaras that he had, the aggravation he had last week, and he won't want to go next time, and someone may lose their life. So this is what we assume is a tirus of mishum trilos. So we have a few restrictions in this heter, a tirus of mishum trilos. First of all, the poskim, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, first of all, the poskim say that it only applies if the doctor went in the middle of Shabbos. Let's say he was in the middle of a surgery, he was doing something from before Shabbos, and then now it's a Leil Shabbos, and it's going to take another couple of hours. You can't say, well, my shift is over at 4:30, so I'm going home. He's in the middle of dealing with the patients. He has to finish, has to wrap it up. So if he didn't leave his home on Shabbos, he left his home before Shabbos, and he finishes in the middle of Shabbos, the heter doesn't apply. Secondly, the heter doesn't apply even if he went in the middle of Shabbos, if he has a regular shift. Let's say in Shari Tzedek, his shift is from 8 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what do you mean? We have to encourage the doctor to come in on Shabbos and give him a break that he's allowed to come home for Shalosh Udus at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, next week he's not going to go. Next week he doesn't come, we'll fire him. This is his job. He has to come. This is his shift. We told him in advance, you have to come between 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock to cover all the patients in the hospital. The only time you have the heter, hitir yourself from shim chilosin, is alpi mikre, alpi hizdamna, something came up which was not planned in advance. Over here, it was planned in advance. So what do you mean you give him a hetzer tirusof mishum tchilasim? You don't have to encourage him to go. If he doesn't show up, he'll lose his job. The tirusof mishum tchilasim is if something comes up, so he can make believe that he didn't hear his beeper. He can postpone, he can dilly-dally, he'll come after Havdalah and the patient will die. He'll decide, last time it was a false alarm and this time it's also a false alarm. So he may pshetl away, so then we say to encourage the doctor to run quickly to take care of the patient, so we allow him to come home, so this will serve as an encouragement that he should run in the first place. The sofon is part of the heter apikuach nefesh. Then number three, the Magen Avraham writes, and the Shita Mekubetzes in Beitza writes like that, Itiru sofa mishum trilosam, and the Gemara it would appear in Beitza only applies to Averis de Rabbanim. You don't allow Averis de Raisa. That's the simple reading in the Gemara in Beitza. Now, after Chasam Seifer understood this Gemara in Erevin, about the soldiers going to take care of a terrorist attack, that we permit them to come back on Shabbos, that's also based on the Tirusof Mishum Trilosam. You might say the doctors went to treat a patient, the Choyle, they called in on Shabbos and he has to go to the hospital. You might call that also Tirusof Mishum Trilosam. So it should be governed with the same rules and regulations. We should only be makel that the doctors are allowed to violate it, he said the Rabbanan, and going back home. That means they can call a non-Jewish car service to drive them home. That's L'chore de Pashtus. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, where he's matter the Hatzola people to drive back home on Shabbos, even though he assumes that driving an automobile on Shabbos constitutes a malacha deraisa of havara, that you're burning the fuel. On Yontif, Rav Avadia has a tshuva where he writes driving a car is only an isa derabon, because it's moiled esh mechadosh. Havara is muta, the tzorach eichal nefesh, the tzorach yom tzas, I want to get somewhere. So the whole prohibition of driving a car on Yontif would only be derabon and moiled esh mechadosh to strike a match. But on Shabbos, Havara is Osir, even if it's Osir Menater, even if it's Tzorach HaYom Tzas, Havara is Osir. So we assume driving a car is an Isa Derais. So Moshe says, you see from the Gemara in Erevin that it's permissible for the soldiers to violate even an Isa Derais. So the Gemara says they carry back their weapons with them. Nu Hoitzoh is a Malacha Derais. So they're going to go many, many miles. They're going to go Chutz L'Tchum. It's also an Isa Derais. So you see, it would appear from the Gemara that you matter even an Isa Derais. It's interesting that this kasha that Rav Moshe raised, and based on this kasha, he paskin that it's mutter even to violate an isa deraisa, he tirus of mishum tchilosim against the classical psak of the Magen Avraham, based on many, the shitim kubetzis and beitza, rishonim and achronim and so on. This kasha was raised by the Chelkas Yoyov. The Chelkas Yoyov was a chassidish rebbe, who was closely connected with the Avnei Nezer. They have correspondence with each other. So the Chelkas Yoyev writes in his Sefer that a tirus of mishum tchilasim is only on dinim derabanan. The Gemara says that you permit them to carry their weapons back. So he says, I'm not sure what the teretz is. Maybe the teretz is because haitzoh is a malacha grua. If anybody has a better teretz, please send me a letter and I'll include it in the next edition of my book. That's what he writes. He doesn't know what the teretz is. He says, maybe because haitzoh is malacha grua. Tchumin yigo chutz l'tchum. Tchumin is not even a malacha. Tchumin is an iser. So even if you should be concerned that Tchumen is deraisa, Rabbi Kiva holds that Tchumen alpai mam is deraisa, 1 mil. The Gemara says we don't accept Rabbi Kiva's opinion that Tchumen 1 mil is deraisa, but the Rambam and the Rif hold that Tchumen yud beis mil is deraisa. So even if one should assume Tchumen is deraisa, but if you say hoitzoh is a malacha grua, and therefore there's room to be made, even though it's an isa deraisa, because it's a malacha grua, so certainly Tchumen is not a malacha at all. It's lower than a malacha grua. He's not sure what the teretz is, but he sticks to the psak, the Chelkas Yoyev sticks to the psak of the Rishonim in the Magen Avraham, that you only permit hitir yosof mishum tchilosam on dinim derabbanan. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva. He disagreed with Rav Moshe. He said he doesn't think it's permissible for the Hatzola people or for the doctor to drive back home, even when you have a heter, hitir yosof mishum tchilosam. He says that the classical post can say we're only mekel on derabbanan, we're not mekel on anisa deraisa. So it's interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman has in the footnote at the beginning of that tshuva, he writes that he asked permission of Rav Moshe Feinstein to publish a tshuva in disagreement with his opinion. He knew that he had the right to disagree with Rav Moshe, but to publish a tshuva in disagreement with Rav Moshe, he felt he needs permission. He wasn't that much younger than Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think Rav Moshe maybe was 19, he was 85. They're both pretty old, they're both pretty learned people. You could have fooled me. I would have thought that Shlomo Zalman knew how to learn also very well. I don't know, they said, they told me that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the first time he went to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to meet Rav Shlomo Zalman to see who he is. The whole world was talking about him. He spent a long time speaking to him. And then after his meeting with him, he said, but Rav Moshe is still greater. So he thought that Rav Moshe was much greater. I don't know. I didn't know either that well. I just know each one superficially. He could have fooled me, but it's interesting. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that he needed permission from Rav Moshe to print the tshuva. So he said, Rav Moshe Feinstein gave me permission to print my tshuva. So that's what he printed. He disagrees. He writes the classical psak. That's what was always assumed, that Hetir Sof Mishum Chilosim is only under Rabbanim.
Wasn't the kasha obvious to Rav Moshe? Those, the
Rishonim
Abraham said only
the one,
and the Gemara says they
carried
their weapons on. So
right, so I say the
Chalkas
Yoyev asked
so
the
Kasha. Wasn't obvious
to
Rav Moshe
that
it's such a
Kasha? Rav Moshe disagrees with the Magen Avraham.
He says that the Avraham
he knows.
Said.
Yeah, he disagrees with the Magen Avraham.
Isn't it true submission to Kolos and Raya that you don't need Chol of
Afanenu? Yeah. That's why everybody finds that Nodi Behuda's requirement very difficult. Why does he require Hetir Sof Mishum? Why does he require a Chol Lefaneinu? So that's why everyone had to give some other interpretation as to what he's driving at. Al Pi Pashtus, you never need a Chol Lefaneinu. As long as you think that you may save someone's life, it's also called Pikuach Nefesh. So that's why the Chazanish in one place explained that all the Nadi Behuda meant was if it's a far-fetched, iffy situation that maybe he'll save someone's life, so that's not called the Safik Sakana. Safik Echad Mina Yalev is not called the Safik Sakana. In another place, in the Pe'er Ador, in the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote that on another occasion the Chazon Ish gave a different explanation for that Nadi Behuda, why he limited the autopsies, they had to do an autopsy to save someone's life in order to learn more about the disease. He limited the dafkit to the situation of Chol Lefaneinu. So they quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish a different explanation. That he felt that basically the way medicine developed during the lifetime of the Nadi Buddha, the way medicine was developing, the way he saw it was going to develop, the more autopsies you're going to perform, the more you're going to discover about sicknesses, and the more sicknesses you'll be able to cure. So we should really always do an autopsy. Whenever anybody dies, they should always do an autopsy. You'll always gain some additional information. Ruba de ruba of the cases, you'll gain additional information that'll be helpful to cure someone's life. So we'll just do away with the whole prohibition of nival ames. Every single person who dies will do an autopsy. So that's what the Nadi Yehuda, this is how the Chazon Ish is interpreting. So he says, perhaps that's what prompted the Nadi Yehuda to limit it. He says, if you have a het of pikuach nefesh that's going to be marked there, it's going to take a din, you're going to say, the din just never applies to this man, because it's always a case of pikuach nefesh. There's never a prohibition of nival ames. It's always mutter to perform an autopsy, because every single case is going to be a safek sakana. There is a good chance that you're going to, there's a serious possibility that you learn something new about medicine, you save someone's life. So to just undo the whole prohibition of nival ames. So you'll undo it. So what's wrong? So it'll be mutter. So the Chazon Ish is suggesting that maybe the Nadi Yehuda felt that that constitutes a Chilul Hashem. To take a mitzvah and to say that it just never applies because it's always covered with the heter of pikuach nefesh. So perhaps that's what motivated the Nadi Yehuda to restrict the heter of autopsies, dafka, the situation of Chol Lefaneinu, just to have an arbitrary limitation. Because to be matir, just outright to be matir everything, is Chilul Hashem. He just undo all the Dini Hatur. That's an interesting insight. That's what the Chazon Ish on other occasions said. You have to be careful, even though Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos in the hospital, and the doctors in the hospital always have to be Mechal Shabbos, but if they're going to run business as usual on Shabbos, the same as they run on the weekdays, so you won't notice a difference between Shabbos and the weekdays. So then it's worse than Chilul Shabbos. They call that Bittul Shabbos. They'll just ignore the whole fact that today is Shabbos. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote that after the war was over, after the Second World War was over, so there were many Jews in the DP camps, in the death camps. After the Allies took over, won the war, so there were DP camps. So they had to send people to Europe in order to relocate these Jewish people. So the first plane left Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos to go to save the people's lives. So they asked the Chazon Ish, are they allowed to go? So he said, yes, Safik Pikuach Nefesh, they should go. Then the next week they were going to send another plane. Second plane was also going to leave on Shabbos. So they asked him again, are they allowed to go? He said, no. So he asked him, but last week we asked, he said, you're allowed to. He said, yeah, but Mikri, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nevesh. But if the organization who's in charge of the Hatzalah work is going to go on Shabbos, they didn't go in the middle of the week. They went, the first week they went on Shabbos, the next week they went on Shabbos. They're just ignoring Shabbos. So that you're not allowed to do. That's worse than Chilul Shabbos. That's Bittul Shabbos. Just to make believe as if Shabbos doesn't exist. So Bittul Shabbos, like a Bittul HaMitzvah, that's considered a Chilul HaShem, and Chilul HaShem does not have the Pikuach Nefesh. Chilul HaShem is worse. We have a din at the Mokom Chilul HaShem, Pikuach Nefesh is not Doicha. Easter return. So getting back again, we have certain limitations in the Heter of Hetira Sofa Mishum Tchilasa. The Heter only applies if the doctor came on Shabbos to encourage him next time to leave on Shabbos. Number two, it doesn't apply if this is his shift, if it was predicted in advance. He knew in advance he's going to have to be there in the shift on Shabbos. It doesn't apply. Only if it was unexpected. Thirdly, most of the Poskim disagree with Rav Moshe Feinstein, the classical Poskim of Shlomo Zalman. They hold it only applies to Anisa de Rabbanan. And fourthly, the Chassam Sofer writes, Yitira Sofer Mishum Tchilasa means you have to encourage the person to save someone else's life. When it comes to someone else's life, so the doctor may be lazy. Yeah, I'm going to have to go there to the hospital. It's in Long Island. I'm going to miss my wife and my children. I'm going to miss the whole meal. I don't want to go there. I'll go after Shabbos. What if it's to save my life? What if it's, I'm deathly sick, and I want to know, and I go to the hospital on Shabbos. And then, after I finish, they took care of me, and I'm alive. Now I want to know, do I have a heter to come back home? So you're going to tell me, if you don't permit me to come back home, next time I'll die on Shabbos. And I'm, what do you mean? You need encouragement to save your own life. So the Chassam Sofer says in the Tshuva, if you had to go to be Mechal Shabbos for a Nochri, there's no heter to be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of the Nochri. The whole heter only is, because if you don't, Pikuach Nefesh of Yisrael is Decha Shabbos, because Pikuach Nefesh of a Nochri is not Decha Shabbos. So the whole heter is, if I don't go to take care of the Nochri, they may kill me. They'll make a program and they may kill me. So he says, so basically you're going for your own Pikuach Nefesh, so we don't have to encourage you to go. You will be encouraged on your own. You will run on your own to take care of it. So he says he doesn't think that in the situation where the doctor was called to take care of an Ochri, he doesn't think in such a case there's a heter hitir sofer mishum tchilasa, because basically he's going to take care of himself. There's another point that one has to have in mind. Based on this Chassam Sofer, the Gemara in Menachos in paragraph Bishmoel seems to say, well, has a machlokes Rabbi and Rava about the details, but the Gemara seems to say that in order to have a heter of pikuach nefesh, you have to have that in mind. Mara has a machlokes. We heard that a baby drowned in the river, and a fellow, a Jewish person, is not a Shem Shabbos. He goes fishing. He goes fishing on Shabbos to have a good time. He throws in a net, and he pulls out a whole bunch of fish, and it turns out that he saved the baby's life. Al pi mikri, he wasn't intending to. He saved the baby's life. So should I say that since everybody heard about it, that the baby drowned in the river, he has that in the back of his mind also? So he has the heter of pikuach nefesh here? Or should I say no? That since his main intention really was to go fishing on Shabbos, so he doesn't have the heter of pikuach nefesh. Shadla, let's say the fishing was done b'shoigeg, he didn't know you're not allowed to fish on Shabbos, so would it be chai v'chatos or not? So if he has a heter of pikuach nefesh, you're not chai v'chatos. If he doesn't have a heter of pikuach nefesh, he will be chai v'chatos. So that's a machlokes Rabba v'Rava. So the Gemara says, but what if he didn't even hear that there's a baby who drowned in the river? Then for sure, he didn't have intention for the pikuach nefesh, or it's not Decha Shabbos. So let's say there's a from a doctor in a hospital, and it's a Shari Tzedek hospital. So he's taking care of Jewish patients. Fine, he's taking care of all the Jewish patients. So does he have to have in mind a Mechal Shabbos l'shem pikuach nefesh? Of course that's what he has in mind. Well, what then? Like the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchas Tefillin, I think. He writes, there is a machlokes harishonim, how we pask him with the mitzvah, tzichas kavana, mitzvah, saying tzichas kavana. Let's say a guy comes to shul shachris, he's half asleep, he puts on his talis and tefillin, he davens, and he asks him, did he really have kavana? He was half asleep. So he says, of course he had kavana. He quotes the chayon, the mismuchach mitocho, from the activity that he does. He puts on the talis, puts on the tefillin, even though he's half asleep. It's obvious from the activity that he engaged in that's called kavana lotzeis. If a doctor is treating the patients in a Jewish hospital on Shabbos, of course that's what he's doing. That's pikuach nefesh. He doesn't have to have in mind I'm using the heter of simin shin chaf tesen shulchan aruch lepikoch nefesh. He's doing pikoch nefesh, his mutter. But what if he's being mechal shabbos to save the lives of the nochrim? So we paskin his mutter because we're afraid he's going to make the nochrim may make a pogrom, and they may kill me or they may kill the other Jews. So that's not so obvious. When I'm treating the nochri, that's muchach mitocho, that I have in mind to save my life. No, it's muchach mitocho, I'm trying to save his life, which is not a heter. So for that lechor, you have to have in mind the heter of pikuach nefesh, otherwise there's no heter. And then there's a further question. Let's say he has to spend the whole day treating one nochri, another nochri, another nochri. He has to treat a lot of nochrim on Shabbos. Shari Tzedek Hospital, they have a lot of Jewish patients, a lot of Arabs. They take care of everybody. So what if he had this kavana by the first nochri that he's treating today? He has in mind that he's mechal Shabbos now, because this is an act that's going to may possibly save lives of the Jews. If I'm not going to be mechal Shabbos for the nochri, my life may be in danger, the life of the whole Jewish community may be in danger. He has it in mind when he treats the first patient, nochri. So do you say he has to have it in mind each time he treats another nochri? Or do you have the right to assume, kol ho'isal das rishayna ho'isal? The Gemara has a klal when you makriv karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash and you do the avoda lishma. So when you started the avoda on the korban, you start doing lishma. We assume everything is lishma. A person, the sofer writes a get. So he makes a declaration before he starts. I'm writing the get lishma l'shem gerush. And then he writes the get. Takes him 20 minutes to write the get. So since he made the declaration in the beginning, so even if he davens mincha ma'ariv in the middle, it's considered kol ho'isal das rishayna ho'isal. Let's say a guy starts tying tzitzis on his beged. So he starts tying lishma, and he doesn't finish today. He finishes tomorrow morning. So you say there also the Mishnah Berurah says, since he made a declaration in advance that he's doing it, the Shem Mitzvah Tzitzis, so the Hemshech is also considered lishma. So I can see that when you write a whole get, the end of the get is the Hemshech of the beginning of the get. Tying on the other three corners on the Tzitzis is the Gemara of the tying on the first corner of the Tzitzis. But treating one Nachri is the Hemshech of treating the other Nachri, which is a hemshecha treating the other nachri. So just because you had the kavana, when the Jewish doctor treated the first nachri, had in mind, I'm doing this in order to save Jewish lives. When he's dealing with the Jewish patient, doesn't have to. Of course he has in mind to save the patient's life. It's muchach mitocha that you have the head to pikuach nefesh. That's what he's dealing with. But if he's treating the nachri, lechori has to have that in mind. Otherwise, the Gemara says there's no head to pikuach nefesh. So that's a question. It perhaps would not be sufficient if the doctor only has the kavana when he deals with the first goyish patient. We may insist that he has to have this kavana each time that he's dealing with another nach. There is a concern that all the doctors have to have, both when they go to medical school and when they're treating patients on Shabbos. Rabbi Tendler's son, Yaakov Tendler, didn't take a Shmir Shabbos internship, but he had a Nochri go with him. There's once in the history of Einstein they allowed that. They didn't allow it before, they didn't allow it after. That was one case. So Rabbi Tendler said that he insisted that his son Yaakov should wear Big Day Shabbos. He didn't wear white begodim. He should wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos. Like the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, even if the doctor's not doing any Chilul Shabbos at all, he's just telling the Nochri. He has an aide, and he tells the nochri, write this and do this, and tells the nurses, do this and do this. The doctor's just walking around, hanging out in the hospital the whole day on Shabbos is not a malacha, but it's a bitla mitzvah of zocher siyam Shabbos v'katshoy. The Chasam Sofer has a whole essay in that tshuva about the Jewish doctor treating the goyish patients when they sent the horse and the buggy to pick him up to treat the non-Jewish farmer. So he talks about wearing Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos, and that's a chelik of the mitzvah of Shabbos, of Kvod Shabbos, of Zocher Siyam Shabbos L'Katshe. So that's one problem. So Rabbi Tendler said that his son Yaakov, every Shabbos, he had to send his suit to the cleaner because it got all filthy. It got all with blood and with medications and chemicals and everything. Every Shabbos he had a cleaner's bill. But he felt he had to do something in order to maintain Kvod Shabbos. Secondly, the Gemara has a problem in Erevin. The Gemara says once you get used to something, once you get used to using a certain heter, you're going to forget already when the heter applies, when it doesn't apply. The Gemara discusses the possibility of saying Kiddush on Yom Kippur and giving the cup of wine to a child before Bar Mitzvah to drink. The Gemara says, if you say Shechyanu over a cup of wine, you enhance the chashivas of the brachas. Aleil Yom Kippur, we recite Shechyanu. So maybe we should have Shechyanu while Akos. The Gemara says, well, Hamavar Tzor Sheyitam. Someone's going to have to taste the wine. So the Gemara says, no problem. Give it to a child who's eating anyway on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, not a smart idea, because Asir L'Misrach. The child will remember that the rabbi gave him the wine to drink, and he may continue to drink the wine Leil Yom Kippur even after he'll become Bar Mitzvah. So this is a real serious problem. There are many doctors who, when they're going to medical school, are not so careful about the Shmir Shabbos during their study years. And then in the hospital, they have to deal with patients on Shabbos. So then it becomes heptagomer. So then they buy food in the cafeteria and they sign checks on Shabbos. What, there's no heptah to buy food in the cafeteria? There's no heptah to sign a check on Shabbos. They somehow think of everything, hutra d'chuyah, everything is mutter, has nothing to do with hutra d'chuyah. Hutra d'chuyah is to treat the patients, not if I'm hungry and I want to eat a meal. So you're not allowed to go buy food on Shabbos, not allowed to pay for it on Shabbos. The whole thing is not permissible. That's the problem of Asir L'Misrach. If a doctor is going to be on call on Shabbos, he has to go out of his way to do things in order to make sure that this doesn't become part of him, that he still maintains in his attitude, in his mind, the idea that Shabbos has to be observed meticulously. It's a big problem.
In the case of not being allowed to go home after tending to a non-Jew on Shabbos, that would also be utter to violate the Sidur Rabbanon, like the car service, or?
Even in the Sidur Rabbanon, yeah, that's what the Hassam Sefer writes.
If a guy is driving another guy, anyway, and you ride along, that is the Rabbanon, or that's just a better to avoid?
The Pashto says that it's not in the Sidur Rabbanon. It's not an Issa Derabbanan. Because of the fact that there's heavier weight, so you burn more oil. The Nochri who's driving the car had a brera not to drive. He's pushing his foot on the pedal anyway. So the Nochri is doing
it. So in that case, if one guy is driving another, then the Jewish person who doesn't otherwise have a head to go home could go home with him.
The Pashtus is like that, yeah. Unless he's going to take me chutz l'tchum.
No. He didn't need Abel, even if he was there for another reason.
Yeah.
He didn't have any of
that harem
to go.
Yeah. No, he points out that the Beis Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok Shmelkish, around 1850 in Lemberg, came up with a chiddush. He says that the Mishnah that prohibits any rochma gabi behema for Shabbos, so the reason for the prohibition is gzeri shemi achtuch zmore. It may break off a branch from the tree and hit the animal with it. So the Pashtus, when you learn the Gemara, sounds like it's only a gzeri. So the Beis Yitzchok came up with a chiddush that included in the Gzeira de Rabbanan is that you're not allowed to use any form of transportation. So even if you have an Erev around an area, you're not allowed to ride by bike, because a bicycle is a form of transportation. Many people drive to work by bike. A tricycle is a toy. That's not a means of transportation. But a bicycle, a big bicycle, is a means of transportation. So in Europe, there were some locations where there were some cities where the bus or the train was free. Whoever lived in the city, they didn't have to pay any money. So according to the Beis Yitzchok, many rabbanim follow the Beis Yitzchok. You look in the Melamed Lahoyel, he follows it, and the Sridi Yesh follows it. So they say, even if the transportation is free of charge, you're not allowed to use any means of transportation. They follow this chumrah of the Beis Yitzchok. And others are not so keen about this chumrah of the Beis Yitzchok. They told me that Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky did not think like that.
And what was the reasoning of the Beis Yitzchok?
He felt that the Gzeira de Rabbanon, that the recorded in the Mishnah in the end of Beis, in Rech Magabe Behema, is, we usually learn that that's identical with the Gzeira of Asad Ishtamish Bebalichayim. Ishtamish Bebalichayim. So the Beis Yitzchok thinks, no, that it's included in this prohibition is that one is forbidden to use any means of transportation. So that's why all the modern Sfarim write, you're not allowed to ride a bicycle even if there's an Erev in the area, because a bicycle is a means of transportation, and it's included in that Gzeira de Rabbanan. So that's why many in Europe were machmer, even if the train is free, even if the bus is free, you're not allowed to go, because a bus or a train is a means of transportation. So that's a question, whether we follow that chumra or not.
If we don't follow the chumra, then the doctor, and anybody can go home, any place with bike, certainly the doctor could go home by bike.
Okay.
I thought the issue of bicycle was to clear.
Well, a bike, you mean if there's an Erev?
Yeah.
Shabbos, yeah. Okay.
And the issue in the back was things like tikkun kli or that it might break down, other issues, not just...
They never made such a gzeira. What has to be worked out, I'm surprised, the Rabbanim have been working on the topic of medical ethics for so many years, they still didn't work this out. The Gemara says there in the end of the Yuma, Machilim Osa Hakal Akal Tchila. When you have to do an Avera in order to save someone's life, so you have to try to minimize the Avera as much as possible. So the Pashtus is that if you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa, so all the Malachas Deraisa are the same. What's the difference? Going to do one Malach, another Malach, another Malach. All the Malachas Derabbanan and Pashtus are also the same. But then you have an area that's known as Gzeres Derabbanan. So in the area of Gzeres, the Gemara has sometimes one Gzeres Derabbanan is more common than the other. So there could be 1,001 levels of Gzeres Derabbanan. So someone should really work out a hierarchy of the Gzeres Derabbanan. For nurses and doctors, have to be Mechal Shabbos with patients in the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. Best is to do this, the second best is to do that, and the third best is to do this, like you have in the end of Masechah Shabbos in the 24th Perek, Mishaech Shechlo Baderech. So the Gemara there starts off the Perek, there are six kulas. The best kula, when a guy's stuck on the highway and he has $1,000,000 in his pocket, you're going to tell him to leave $1,000,000 in the street and walk away. He's not going to listen. So you have to give him a heter. So the best heter is give it to a Nochri, second best give it to a Behemoth, third best give it to a Shoita. Fourth best, give it to a cut. Next is to do this. You have a whole series of kulas, and the Gemara gives you the whole hierarchy. So here, the Paskim worked about this a little bit in a different context. Those who went to Siberia in the middle of the Second World War, so some ran to the east and some went to the west. No one knew where they were going to save their lives. So many got stuck in labor camps in Siberia. So they had to do Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So they worked out a hierarchy of which Yisurim Derabbanan and Mohammed and which. Is it better to do Shnaim Shasu? Is it better to do Kalach Hayad? So we have to take all those cheshbonos plus more and apply them here to the hospital situation. So it's unfortunate that the work has not yet been done. There's still a lot of work to be done for the nurses and the doctors. Okay.
I thought that the Gemara says that they changed their explanations against the real chat.